In the name of Jesus, amen. Since many of you, I suppose, are Greek students, and I happen to be a Hebrew teacher, just having finished the book of Genesis with a class, it would seem to a certain extent that I'm in some hostile territory this morning. But I plunge on this morning anyway, even though the lesson is from the Old Testament. And, of course, that was not written in Greek, even though you may think it was written in Greek. There are, you know, definite connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between the Old Testament and the church, even the church of today. And there are connections between the Old Testament and the office toward which you aspire. Now, of course, Moses, in the history of God's people, occupied a unique position that Scripture talks about. But nevertheless, he was called by God, and that's what you will be. And he was called to speak the word of God to lost sinners. And that's what you will do as pastors. As you know, Moses never actually finished the job that the Lord had called upon him to do, and that is to get people into the promised land. What in the world happened anyway? Now, at this point, I don't know how many Bible scholars I've seen who have scratched their heads and are totally mystified. They just don't seem to know what it was that disqualified Moses from the job. But I'll tell you something that's even more mystifying to me. What mystifies me is why people don't know why Moses was disqualified. Didn't they ever hear this story? Here in this story, it's perfectly obvious why he wouldn't be allowed to finish the job, even though he was at the desert outpost of Kadesh, which is a stone's throw from the southern border of the Promised Land. Now there, out in the wilderness, the people started complaining to Moses and Aaron that they didn't have any water. Now, this in and of itself was nothing new. They had done this complaining about the lack of water before, more than once before, and who knows how many times they didn't complain, and that these complaints weren't recorded in the scripture besides. Here they're complaining that they don't have any water, and you know, Moses and Aaron didn't have to take this all personally. After all, not having enough water wasn't their fault. They should have known that with any leader, especially with a spiritual leader, it seems, that the spiritual leader often gets blamed for things that aren't his fault. Pastor, if you hadn't come here, my son wouldn't be on drugs. If you hadn't come here, our congregation wouldn't be $50,000 in debt. If you hadn't come here, I wouldn't be sick like I am. Now, of course, to this complaint against God and Moses for not having enough water, God responded to the need. He would make water come from the rock. Again, this is nothing new, nothing new at all. God had squeezed water from a rock before, and surely Moses knew enough as the leader of God's people that if God had done this before, that God certainly could do this again. That doesn't seem to be the problem at all. In fact, God made it even simpler for Moses. He said, just command the rock to give its water. You don't even have to strike the rock this time. But now it gets goofy. Moses is described as being such a meek man, meek enough that he stumbled over his words. But what does he do here? Why, he acts like someone who's in practice for a new cable TV show. He turns the whole thing into a sideshow. Why, he turns his ministry into something like a circus act. Ladies and gentlemen, do you think that we can get water out of this rock? Do you think so? Watch this, my friends. Are you all watching? I want you to know that the camera is on continuously, so there are no camera tricks here. Then, to emphasize human agency, namely his human agency, instead of the power of God, Moses struck the rock. He wasn't supposed to do that. And then he struck the rock again, no doubt with all ample flourishes to boot. Now I tell you, even someone who is just starting out his preparation for the holy ministry knows that Moses' action here was goofy. Anybody with the bare minimum of sanctification knows that a pastor doesn't draw attention to himself, but he deflects all that attention toward our God and Savior where it belongs. Everybody knows, just like John the Baptist, that Christ must increase and the messenger must decrease. But what isn't so obvious in this story is, just why did Moses, meekness and all, act this way? 40 years. 40 years he had put up with this people. 40 years he had listened to their complaints. 40 years, in spite of his best sermons, they still had a way of expressing their unbelief. 40 years. You know how lay people can start to grate on you after 40 years? You should know most of you are lay people. If you don't know how they can grate on you, and if you're married, just ask your wife. Moses just couldn't stand these people after 40 years. Moses couldn't take it anymore. He calls them a pack of rebels. And so his mind does a subtle shift here, and he in effect says, if these ingrates won't appreciate me, then I'll appreciate myself. And so it turns out that his own self-trumpeting is basically an act of self-defense. Now I know, as future pastoral counselors, having heard it put this way, I think you can all understand why Moses was thinking this way and thus doing what he was doing. But still, in your heart of hearts, you still know this is goofy. Why is he doing this? Oh, Moses. No, no, let's make it more personal. Oh, you. You know there is a gospel out there. You know that there is a gospel among us. And you know that the gospel is for you too. You know that you need the gospel just as much as anybody else. You know that you need the blood of Jesus Christ too. You know that you are a sinner, howbeit a forgiven sinner. And you also know that those people are forgiven sinners too. As you conduct your ministry, the Lord Jesus will hold you up. He'll bear you up. He'll defend you. He will sustain you. He will get both you and them into the promised land. And remembering all of this, you as the chief of sinners will have patience, patience, patience 40 times over with the people of God. There is always hope. Even amidst the bungling of the clergy, even amidst the bungling of the lay people, there is always hope. Did you notice one little detail of this story? Water still did come from the rock. Did you notice that God showed himself to be holy even when no human being was doing so? Or, as the Hebrew says, the Lord kadeshed himself at Kadesh. And you do know that God's people did make it to the promised land. Even Moses himself made it to the ultimate promised land of heaven. And so today, by God's mercy and grace and power, God will be holy among us also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.